And we have nothing to disclose.
We thought we'd do that at the very beginning. We're going to start out with a definition, right?
Oh, okay.
Is this better?
Okay.
We're going to start out right away with a very clear definition that sets the tone for our presentation, and it's the World Health Definition of Health. We use in our community health course a global health approach, and so we felt that it was very, very important from the very beginning in our community health courses to say that we really do ascribe to the world definition of the World Health Definition of Health. And we really see, and we've underlined it here, that it's seen as a resource for everyday life. We provide an experience for international practicum students, their experiences, to look at other health practices, other cultures, and other communities. And we give opportunities to develop a worldview of health, nursing, and diverse ways of caring. We use a public health approach to partnering with communities, and we do this in the U.S. as well as in worldwide community settings. We've been most successful embedding this in our community health practicum, and that includes clinical placements with also integrating OB, PEDS, MedSurg, and mental health. Mental health needs are considered in relation to the culture, and we find that that is a very interesting and intriguing area, and we proceed with great caution in that area. I want to add also that when students go, it's for about 2 weeks, but there's 2 weeks on site, but the course it is part of the community health course. So they have their clinical practicum in Honduras or Tanzania or other countries, and other students have their clinical practicum in the greater Cincinnati area. But they're all dealing with similar kinds of issues. And from this point, Tina's going to talk in detail about what we do.
Thank you, Robin. The first thing we need to think about is what is community? And it's more than just a collection of people. And this is just a group of community members in one of the rural villages in Honduras we go to. We go with an organization called Shoulder to Shoulder. And Shoulder to Shoulder is an NGO that has a partnership with the Ministry of Health where we provide care for four distinct communities. And it's about 20,000 people that we provide care for. We received the government contract to do that, and it is gradually expanding to include more and more. And it's the whole gamut of public health as well as medical care. So, and this government gives them very little money to do that. So it's a partnership between an NGO as well as universities and other programs that help with this. And we meet with the community to find out what the community wants, because, you know, we're not going to get anywhere if we're not in there partnering. And partnering is the most important thing we've found out. And we do it based on public health. We synthesize the nursing practice, and we look at their public health practices there. For instance, the government right now is on to pap smears, and we have to do pap smears, even though we've done VIA, visual inspection with acetic acid, and had very good results, but they won't follow through unless we do pap smears. So we're following within the government's health plan that they want us to do. We have the goal to preserve the health of the community and the surrounding population. With it being a very rural area, access to care is a major issue. And so we now send doctors out into different communities 1 day a week. So there is consistent medical care given to these communities. We also have hired health promoters who work each day in a different community. We currently have 120 employees, and when I started working with this organization in 2001, we had 5 Honduran employees. So it has grown tremendously. And then we also look at health promotion and health maintenance, and we have the community health workers who organize things like health fairs, and then different organizations such as my group of nursing students or another interdisciplinary people go in and actually do a health fair. We'll work in the school, something to, that they have decided is a priority. And then we identify the populations at risk, and we oftentimes will do home visits with physicians or whoever is needed to get that person into the type of care that they're needed. And as you all know, the mission of public health is primary care that's based on the country's health plan under WHO auspice. And I think it's real important to remember we want to do it in conjunction with what the country wants done. And how does this all fit together? Well, we need to make sure that we're working within the country health plan and not going off and saying, this is what you need to do. So that's why we work with NGOs that are established there and are well-versed in the health plan that we can work with. That's how we at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing have done that. And then we take our curriculum, and just like you would adapt it if you were in downtown or suburban health department or community site, we adapt it to where we are. We will do health education. Well, we may need to do health education through a translator on prenatal issues, for instance, as opposed to doing it on just one-to-one. We'll do a more of an educational group simply because it's easier with the translators and stuff. It's also important to know the community and the culture. And one thing we found that the data that Shoulder to Shoulder has is immensely helpful with that. There's the mapping. There is also a few other things that we've done. We've done a door-to-door survey. We can tell you how many people live in each house. We can tell you what kind of water supply they have, where their latrine is located. We can tell you everything about their home. About 3% of the population refused to let us in and tell us what their situation was. And that was something that the nursing students helped to do, too. Those that were fluent in Spanish were a lot more helpful than those of us that weren't. And then it's just the public health approach, partnering, working with the community. And this is a recent picture from a trip to Tanzania, and the community health workers wanted some information about pregnancy and that they could give to their young women in their community as they got pregnant. And so these are some of the nursing students that helped to develop a pregnancy education book, which was low literacy, primarily a picture book, and these are the community health workers in that community who were getting their education. We were originally all wanting to sit on the ground, but they insisted that culturally, because we were their teachers, we had to sit on the benches and that we couldn't sit on the ground. But we finished this. We've done this version for a couple of different times. But the nice thing about this last one is all of our community health workers are now able to read Swahili, so we got it all translated into Swahili, so each point that they needed to make is on one side and the pictures are on the other side. And then we also do health promotion through education in the schools. And this is when in Honduras we were doing something with oral care because that was what the community wanted, because now their kids no longer had those pretty white, shiny teeth. They have a lot more decay. So they asked us to do some oral education. This was done in a middle school. And the most important to remember when you're doing this is it starts with planning. You need to start your reading. Know your country's health plan so you're not going in there and doing something that's adverse to it. Know the culture. Know the population you're dealing with. The population we deal with has a lot of the 18 to 25-year-old men are gone. But the women are still there with the young children. But we've also found that the women that are in the 35 to 50-year age group are gone, and the men are back. So it's a very different population than here. The population pyramid is not at all what we were expecting when we actually did that. Prepare before you go, but also be flexible. You know, we know that they want education for prenatal when we went to Tanzania, so we prepare for that. But there's always last-minute things that they want, so you need to be flexible to give them what they want. Know your community. It's important to know the people. It helps with the consistency. When I go into town now, I have a few friends. They come up to me. We talk, and that makes a big difference because I've been going to this community at least twice a year since 2005, and they know that I'm not just there to do something that lets my students do something, that I'm going to follow through and listen to them. And then we also get the students to brainstorm and think, how does this work internationally, but also how could it work locally? If you were dealing with an immigrant population from Mexico or some other place, how could you apply that? So start planning early. One year we went and they wanted CPR instruction. So we did the CPR instruction, and that's a little blow-up mannequin we had there that we did, and these were some of the community health workers who wanted that. And so we taught not only CPR, but we taught the airway clearing, too, because we figured most of them needed the choking more than they needed the CPR, because I can't imagine doing CPR on the back of a what we call an ambulance, which is a hammock on two pieces of bamboo that they carry. I just don't think that would work. And then a group of women in the community, young mothers, wanted to learn basic first aid. So we taught a first aid course, and they were practicing bandaging. So we just kind of do what they want, but it's all things that can help improve their health. And the planning also involves journaling, because I found that that's a very important part, that the students need to put their thoughts to paper. They need to look at their questions, too, and begin to problem solve. And then when they're journaling, they can think of things when we have our discussions, because we meet fairly often, probably 8 to 10 times before we even go, so that they can start thinking about their project, and then they can also get into the problem solving, what we can do. And we oftentimes will do an interdisciplinary team, and this is where the brainstorming comes in, because sometimes we'll have engineers with us, sometimes we have pharmacists with us, and we all look at things just a little bit different. And we can get some really great projects as a result of that. This past year, we did a nursing seminar in Tanzania, because the nurses had heard that the doctors had had a seminar the year before. So they wanted to know why we didn't do a nursing seminar. I said, fine, we'll do a nursing seminar. What do you want it on? They wanted it on respiratory cardiac abdominal assessment. And then the American Academy of Pediatrics Helping Babies Breathe program came out, so we had a Helping Babies Breathe instructor with us, so she did that in the afternoon. But we gave them what we wanted, but we also shared something new with them, and they were pretty surprised that we had the baby doll and all that for teaching that. And the students were there as the models, because culturally they weren't real comfortable with letting other people touch them and do those things. So the students were the models and helped them with it. And our whole goal was not to teach them to know what everything was. What was to teach them what's normal, and if it's not normal, to then refer them. Another time when we were in Honduras, the nurses found out I was a former labor and delivery nurse, and they wanted to know about doing Leopold's maneuvers. This was just a spur-of-the-moment thing the day before we left. And so we found a pillow, we found a baby doll, and practiced that way. So it's all about improvising, too, and doing what they want to help. When we're in country, we do things like nightly sharing, a little bit of what we did each day. And then we also give them journal prompts. You know, what impacted you the most today? We also have them do a professional log, because it's part of a course. So they need to be looking at what that course objective is and how they're meeting it. We also have them looking at their community partners, because we have found it's extremely important to meet with the community partners, because that way you get an evaluation of what you've done. You also get some ideas for what you can do in the future. And since I go to Honduras fairly frequently, like I have 3 trips planned for next year, I'll be able to follow through, because they told me what they want me to do in January, but I know when I go in January, they're going to have another list of things they'd like us to do in February and April. So it helps with that meeting with the community leaders and the partners who can help you with that, because we all learn from each other. And I think that's the most important thing that the students oftentimes forget, and we as adults oftentimes forget too, is how much we can learn from the next person. And I always say that if I learn something, and I have had each student learn at least one thing, then it has been an extremely successful trip. And it helps them with their integration, too, because they see the good that's there, they see what we do in the U.S., and then they can meld the two so that it makes them to be a better nurse in their practicing. Post-experience, we've done a lot of different things. This is one of the things we do is they share it with their community health course. They do a poster. They also do a poster at the capstone presentation. Mainly that's with our graduate students, but oftentimes this leads into their undergraduate capstone. And my favorite capstone is the nurses, 2 RN to BSN students, wanted to do something to help a community there. And one of the things they noted is that they needed to get folic acid into the communities. A lot of the women knew about it, but for some reason they weren't really good about taking it. So they developed a poster, which was really good. But they also remembered that they had met this nurse, or this lady, Doris, who worked in the pharmacy. Doris was the number 1 graduate from her collegio and wanted to be a nurse. Doris's problem was she didn't have any money. And in order to be a professional nurse, she had to go to Tegucigalpa and needed about $2,000. So these two nurses did a fundraiser for Doris and got close to $2,500 so she would go to school for 6 months and not have any worries, because she's now gotten some financial aid, so she has no worries. But she got settled in Tegucigalpa. And Doris is a very shy and quiet woman and has committed to coming back after her 4 years in Tegucigalpa and living in this community. And we don't have a contract with her or anything, but we feel very comfortable that she will, because we have that one-on-one relationship with her, and she knew that that was what we wanted, was to get something sustainable so that they would have a local nurse in there instead of a social service nurse that changed every 6 to 9 months. So we're very hopeful about that. Another thing that we found very helpful is they get some knowledge about healthcare policy. It's something that we talk a lot about when we're in different countries, like they're doing this, we're looking at this, so that they get that idea. It's just a very different thing. And the one thing I wanted to say, it's not about us. It's about the country that we're in. It's about their health. It's about their community. It's all about healthcare systems, because we have a system here, we have a system there. We have to learn to work within them. It's also, most importantly, about family, culture, and values, because we know that family, culture, and values will impact the health. It's very difficult when students go someplace and they can't understand why they won't go and get chemotherapy in Tegucigalpa. Well, the family's made that decision that, you know, grandma's 80, grandma doesn't want to leave her family, and we don't really have the money. We can use this money better, and it's very difficult, but it lets them see those different values. And the most important thing, health is about partnering, and we can't have a healthy nation if we don't have partnering. And we spend a lot of time with the children. Sometimes we play, sometimes we do education. And this was a group where we were doing oral care in a school one day, because the kids wanted to know more about it. And so I just wanted to say the main thing is when you educate the children, you will change their lives. And whether it's our children here or children there, we're going to change someone's lives. I think we have a minute or two for questions. She asked if we were going, if it's the same students. No, it's always one. You students get one international experience. We have about 3 to 4 applicants for each spot, because we take anywhere from just 6 to 8 students with each group. But I do have a lot of returning students who will go with me a year or two down their line. I've had one student who's gone for 7 years. Every year she goes with me. Yes. The funding for the students to travel is very interesting. A lot of them write letters, and I've been very surprised, but a couple of them have gotten theirs totally funded from friends and neighbors. Our university also offers some funding if the students apply for a grant, and we also have a wonderful anonymous donor who covers all of my expenses, so that's not added to the students, and roughly 12 to 15% of theirs, depending on how many trips we're taking that year. So it's a little bit of fundraising going out there and cultivating the donors. Yes?
How much does it cost per
student? The cost per student varies. To Honduras, it's anywhere from $1,800 to $2,000. When we went to Ecuador, it was about $2,300. And this last year in Tanzania, it was $3,600. So it is a very pricey trip. Okay, thank you.